Take your Bibles this morning, please, and turn with me to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter number 1. Joshua chapter number 1. I've been thinking about our graduates and thinking about Memorial Day all week. And I attended a graduation service on Friday night. I didn't need confirmation that God was leading, but the Lord sure did give it. The principal of the school, he made this statement. He said, "Young people, if you're going to succeed, there's going to be three things that will be absolutely necessary." He said, number one, hard work. My dad used to have a saying, he said, "Hard work never hurt anybody." Amen. And we need to understand and realize that these young people have worked hard to get where they are. Maybe not with their hands, but the schoolwork, the book work, the learning, the knowledge, the study. It took a long time and a lot of dedication. But I believe that to succeed, we need to work hard. But the second thing that he said is something God had been dealing with my heart about all week, and that's humility. To succeed in life, we need humility. And then the last thing that he spoke about is we need faith. Now, he didn't go as deep into that as probably a pastor would in that setting, but I appreciated him mentioning it. Amen. We need faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. A Bible definition of faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I take just a moment to tell you that I wasn't there when Jesus was born, but I believe he was. I wasn't there when Jesus was helping his dad in the carpenter shop, but I believe he did. I wasn't there when Jesus healed the blind, healed the lame, and raised the dead, and gave beloved life to those that came to him in repentance. Amen. Eternal life. But I believe he did. I wasn't there when he died on an old rugged cross. I'm going to go away from that word believe for just a minute, but I know he did. I wasn't there when he rose again the third day, but I know he did. All of that's because of faith. Amen. I wasn't there when the angel said, "You men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, whom you see going into heaven, is going to come again in like manner." But I believe it happened just like the Bible said. That's what faith is. Amen. Jesus hasn't come back yet, but I believe he will, because the Bible said, amen, that he will. And I believe the Word of God. In Joshua chapter number 1, the Bible said, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates." And by the way, these young people running up and down the roads in America saying, "From the river to the sea, free Palestine." You know what they want? They want Israel off the face of the map. They don't even understand what they're saying. Amen. Many of them are caught up in immorality that if they were in Palestine, they'd throw them off of a building because of the immorality that they're caught up in. They don't even understand what they're saying. But the Bible said here, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee. All the days of thy life, as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper." How many would like to see these young people prosper in their lives? John prayed for that in 2 John, amen, that thou mayest prosper even as thy soul. That's not a prosperity gospel, beloved, but it's saying there's nothing wrong with wanting your son or your daughter to succeed, amen, in what God has called them to do. The Bible said here that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Our young'uns are going in different directions. And wherever they go, God's already there. Amen. Watch this. He said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success." I'm just interjecting this right here. Many already know it, but this is the only time the word success is used in the Word of God. And you know what God said about success? He said it's good. He called it good success. Amen? "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Let's get started. Father, thank you this morning for the word of the living God. Thank you for Moses. Thank you for Joshua. Thank you for those, Lord, that have trodden this path before us. God, we try our best, our Lord, to stand here today and share, God, what you've put in our hearts and in our minds. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for loving us. Help us this day. And God, help us to be a blessing to our young people, to our families. And God, we'll give you glory for all that you do. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. This thing, everybody knows what hard work is. Brother Chris, there was a young man that came out there and helped us the other day. And Brother Houston, I took him out to eat. I took them boys out to get them something to eat. And he said, "Preacher, I've got a blister on my finger." Amen. And I told the young man what my dad told me when I went to pastor, and see, I kind of got soft that first church I pastored, and all of a sudden we got into this project and I showed dad the blisters. I mean, tell you, they'll turn into calluses if you keep working, but I showed dad the blisters and dad looked at me. He had great sorrow. He said, "Candy." That's what he called me. Amen. Candy. Everybody knows what hard work is. Whether it's, beloved, working with your hands, whether it's working with your mind, whether it's studying, everybody knows what that is. But I want to key in on this humility here. And this is really not the message. I'm just introducing the message. Y'all can understand that and get in line. Amen. We're not coming back tonight, remember? Amen. All right. And so I thought about there ought to be humility about our young people. And anything I say about our young people, it fits all of us. Because we ought to be humble because of this country that we live in. I'm telling you, we've got our woes. We sure do, Brother Junior. But it's still the greatest country on the face of the earth. It's wonderful to be an American. Amen. And I don't have a problem with people that don't love our country. I just wish they'd leave. Amen. One-way tickets are available everywhere. Amen. Get on a boat. Get on a plane. And go somewhere where you like it better, amen, if you don't like America. I don't believe we should like America. I believe we should love America, amen. I praise God for our country. And all gave some, and some gave all. Humility ought to come as we think about our country. And then humility ought to come as we think about our home. I want you to think about this for just a moment. Your moms and your dads have sacrificed so that you can be where you are. You say, "Now, Pastor, you didn't go to college." I'm not ashamed of that. I am what I am by the grace of God. Listen, but I'm going to tell you what my mom and my dad sacrificed. My dad put 6 kids through school. I went through high school with 2 outfits of clothes. Those were the days of bell bottoms and it was cool to sew material on the bottom of your bell bottoms. It fit perfect in my life at the time because I was growing like a weed. And nobody wants to go around with pants like that. Amen? So I didn't get any bigger around the waist, but you know something happened later. Amen? But I just kept getting taller. And so I just cut that material off, Mark, sew something a little longer on. Amen? I was still in style, still going right along. And my father would get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, toast 2 pieces of bread, put some peanut butter on it, pour syrup on it, and eat it with a cup of coffee and go work all day so I could go to school and learn how to read and learn how to add 2 plus 2 and learn how to divide and learn how to multiply. And I'm telling you, I'm just thankful for my heritage. And if we get over that, we'll get full of pride and we won't be humble. I got to stop. I didn't plan on saying any of this, but I tell you what, God's good. I'm going to tell you, my dad, we lived... You ever heard somebody leave the door open, somebody say something like this, were you raised in a barn? You ever heard that? Well, I was. I was raised in a barn. My dad fixed it up into one of the nicest houses you've ever seen. It looked like something out of a storybook. He painted, he put windows in it, put new doors on it. And when he got it all fixed up and all the brush piled up and burned and the whole place cleaned up and looking good, then the woman come along and jacked the rent up to where dad couldn't afford it. You say, what are you saying all that for? Because I had a problem with something when I was little. It was pride. You know what? I would go over to my friends' houses, and they had big, fine houses. Many of them had built-in swimming pools in the backyard. And you think I was going to invite them to the barn? But let me ask you something. If I had it to do over again, guess what I'd have done? I'd invited every one of them and said, come and see what my daddy done. I want you to see what my daddy worked at. I'm just telling you, beloved, it's a happy day in your life when you learn to be humble. Amen. Watch this now. The Bible said that God resisteth the proud and he giveth grace to the humble. I got news the other day that Brother Mike was at the ER. So help me. My wife and I were sitting in a restaurant yesterday, and I'm not making fun. I'm trying to show you what we saw. This man appeared to be about 50 or 55 years old, and he was bent over like this. He couldn't straighten up, and he had a cane, and he come out. He wasn't an old man. Now, I used to think 50 was old. Somebody help me right there. But anyway, I got to thinking about Brother Mike, and God's been dealing in my heart. He's scheduled for surgery. Brother Mike's scheduled for surgery on Thursday. Now, if you're going to schedule surgery, you better have a surgeon. How many's glad when you need a surgeon, there's one there? But let me tell you something about the surgeon. He can't do it by himself. There's going to be somebody that's prepped that OR. There's going to be somebody that's prepped those utensils. Somebody sewed the scrubs up. Are you listening to me? You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say we need the surgeon. He needs the patient. The patient needs him. But the patient ought to be humble because he needs the surgeon. And the surgeon ought to be humble because he needs a whole lot of people in order to get it done. I don't know about all this process. I studied about it a little bit this week. But I've watched some movies. And I've seen the doctors go over there to the sink. You know what I mean? And you're shaking your head. You must know something about it. They do their hands like this, don't they? Because they don't want the stuff on the arms to go down to the end of the fingers. Amen? And so, but I wonder how many doctors, I wonder how many surgeons, I wonder how many nurses, I wonder, Brother Brian's not here, how many physical therapists or occupational therapists. Think about the plumber that put the sink in. When you get in an OR, I don't know a whole lot about an OR. Brother John, where are you at? Where'd you go? Well, you're back there. Amen. There's bright lights in there, ain't there? From what there had to be an electrician somewhere. There's one sitting behind you, Brother John, back there. He ain't no count, but he's an electrician anyway. Amen. All I'm saying is, youngins, we're not an island. We're not in this thing by ourselves. Amen. Somebody chance engineered the building. There had to be carpenters. There had to be sheetrock people. There had to be people in there that put the ceiling tiles in. All I'm saying is this, young people, listen. Don't ever get to the place where you think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. That's for every one of us. Because I didn't get here by myself, amen? You didn't get here by yourself. Somebody helped you. And that ought to be humbling to us to know that somebody loved us enough. Honey, I'm going to heaven because somebody loved me enough to save my never dying soul. I couldn't get to heaven by myself. I had an article I was going to read, but I'm going to skip it this morning. It was about a patient. This guy was a reporter. And he learned so much as a patient in the OR. And then he went back. They allowed him to go into the OR as an observer. And he learned so much more. You know, I thought about, you can think I'm crazy, but I'm telling you how my mind works about humility. Brother Rick, I thought about this last week. You know, you wake up that morning. And what do? You reach over there and you hit an alarm clock. That thing may have been made in China by slave labor. So I'm just telling you, youngins, it's time that we think about something besides ourselves, amen? Someone besides ourselves. You get in that vehicle and you're going to go to the doctor's office to get help, or Brother Mike, somebody had to make those tires. Somebody had to mount those tires. Somebody worked in an automobile factory. All I'm telling you is, youngins, listen, there's no big eyes and little U's in life. The ground is level, are you? God has a purpose for every one of us, amen? I thank God, beloved, this morning that Joshua understood that the key to it is to walk humbly with thy God, amen? Now listen, I thought about the operating room, and I thought about different things, and the nurses, and I thought about, beloved, the orderlies. Somebody asked Brother Mays Jackson one time. They asked if he was a doctor. And I'm just telling you what he said. He said, no, I'm an orderly. He said, I spend a lot of time cleaning up the messes doctors make. I was in a meeting last week. Listen to me. We need orderlies. We need doctors. We need surgeons. We need PAs. We need nurses. We need dental hygienists. Where are you at, Cheyenne? If a nurse has got a toothache, she ain't going to be much good to nobody. Amen? We need everybody. Amen? And that ought to humble us to know how much we need each other. Amen? How much we need each other. And I just thank the Lord this morning for what I heard in that graduation service about humility. If we're going to be successful, we need to work hard, we need humility, and we need faith. I'll say this, we need humility in the pulpit, we need humility in our parents, and we need humility in whatever profession that God calls us into. I have not heard this much, but I've heard this. And to the young people that are here this morning that are headed out into the next chapter of your life, I want to tell you something that blesses me. I've not heard it a lot, but I've heard it several times in my ministry, Brother Dale. The doctor prayed with me before the surgery. I don't know about you, but that would help me, amen, to know that that doctor is leaning on someone besides himself. To know, I had a PA, Brother John, and I'm saying this has nothing to do with it, just because it's the truth. She was a young black lady. And she was awesome at what she did. She was so awesome that I asked her one day, I said, honey, why aren't you a doctor? You're so good at what you do. I wish I could remember her name. I was on Dilaudid at the time, and you don't remember much after Dilaudid, amen. But anyway, I wish I'd tell you her name if I could remember. But I said, why? And you know what she said to me, Brother Chris? She said, I'll tell you why. She said, I have a family. And she said, I get to go home every day at 5 o'clock and be with my family. You say, we're living in a generation, if we're not careful, somebody look down their nose that somebody's taking care of their family. We better not judge one another. Are you listening to me? We better walk humbly with our God and realize, beloved, I'm going to give you some things to realize in a minute that we all need to realize. But I'm trying to help our young people to understand. I want them to succeed. Man, I want to hear reports that we're helping people and people are getting help. People are getting the help that they need physically. People are getting the help that they need spiritually. I think it would be awesome. Amen. Let's look at Joshua chapter 1. Let me give you the message now. That was the introduction. But let me give you the message. I want to look in Joshua chapter 1 for just a few minutes, and here's what I want to give you. Some things that all of our graduates have in common. All kinds of different avenues where they're headed. But God showed me some things in Joshua chapter 1 that all of our graduates have in common. And really, I'm just saying that because it's Graduate Sunday, but all of us have these things in common. Every one of us have these things in common. Number one, there's a God in heaven that loves you. I can tell every one of our graduates that there is a God in heaven that loves you. Amen. Caleb, he loves you. Amen. About time you graduated, ain't it? Amen. I love Caleb. And I appreciate Caleb. But God loves every one of us. You say, Pastor, how do you see his love in this chapter? Well, in verse number 2, he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, rise and go. I see God's love in how he guides. He guides his people. Beloved, he guides us, the Bible said, with his eye. I see not only that God loves us because of how he guides, but in verse 2, verse 3, and verse 11, by what he gives. Look what it said in verse number 2. He said, I do give to them. In verse number 3, that I have given unto you. In verse number 11, the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. Let me say this to you this morning. This all kind of ties together. But listen, none of us are going to stand before God, Brother Mark, and give an account of what we don't have. What God gives some of us an ability to remember. I've said this about Brother Coulter. His memory scares me. He'll say, Pastor, you remember what you preached in prayer meeting 3 years ago? I say, are you kidding me? I don't remember what I preached last prayer meeting. Amen. But some people can remember really well, and some people can't remember very well. But God has made all of us the way God made us, and God is not going to require of us what he did not give us, but he is going to require of us what he did give us. He loves us. It's seen in how he guides. It's seen in what he gives. And then it's seen in what is good. God loves us. In verse number 6, 7, and verse number 9, he speaks of good courage. I'm going to tell you something. It takes courage to stand up for the Lord in these days we live in. It takes courage to speak up. Amen. The lady that waited on our table yesterday, she took the little card and promised me that she would watch the video. You know, I'm praying that she will. She doesn't have a home church. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Amen. You say, Pastor, I wouldn't witness to somebody. I might offend them. I would rather witness to them. And if they get offended, that's on them than to offend my Lord. Amen. My Lord has given me something that's worth sharing. Amen. It's a wonderful, wonderful faith. A good courage. And then in verse number 8, he says, good success. There's a God in heaven that loves you. How much does he love you? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. That's a great love. There was a little thing, a little picture years ago, said, I asked Jesus, how much do you love me? And he said, this much. And he stretched out his arms and died. That's one thing all of our graduates have in common. God loves them. God loves them. Brother Adam was doing the slides for me this morning. We were making some adjustments on the slides. And I said this to Brother Adam. I can't remember exactly what he said back. I said, Brother Adam, it won't be long and that'll be Jonah's picture up there. Now, honey, you can say whatever you want to. You remember when Jackson was little? Back yesterday, wasn't it? Amen. I'm telling you, it won't be long. There'll be little Maddox and little Malin up there on the wall. graduating. It goes by just like that. Amen. And we need to remember that God said, I love you. And we need to teach our young'uns that God loves them. The second thing that I want to give you out of the chapter, some things that all of our graduates have in common. There's a God in heaven that loves you. Number two, there's a God in heaven that has a book for you. It's called the Bible, the Holy Bible. We use the King James Bible because we believe it is God's Word preserved in the English-speaking language, period. No one will ever come to this pulpit as long as I'm pastor and open another Bible and preach out of it. God's Word is forever settled in heaven. Amen. And every one of our graduates have this in common. God has a book for you. It's not a book for the coffee table. Just lay it under there and let it collect dust. It's a book to be read. What about the book? Let me give you several things real quickly about the book. It's this book that takes us into His presence. Look what the Bible said in verse number 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, you know what? God spake unto Joshua. You say, what happens, preacher, when you open that book? God speaks unto preacher. Amen? I love it, don't you? This is God's love letter to mankind. Beloved, God has a book for you. It'll take you into His presence. Look in verse number 5. The Word of God said here in the verse, second part of verse number 5, I will be with thee. It'll take you right into His presence. Amen. Give us this day our daily bread. You say, Pastor, the Bible taking us into the Lord's presence? Yeah, you'd have to understand. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the... You'll never be any closer to God than you are to this book. I'll say it again. You'll never be any closer to God than you are to this book. When my grandfather couldn't even read, he got saved and my grandmother read him this book. Over and over he talks about that. Now, not only God in heaven has a book for you, it's a book that tells us how to get into His presence, but it's a book that tells us how to prosper. Look at verse number 7 and 8. Only be thou strong and very courageous, and observe to do according to all the law. Don't turn from it to the right or the left. You say, Pastor, how can we prosper? Stay in the book. Stay in the book. You know where preachers get in trouble? When they get out of the book. You know where God's people get in trouble? When they get away from the book. Amen. It's this book. You remember one time, Jeremiah said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to quit. I'm through with it. These hard-headed people, I'm done with them. Amen. But the Word of God said, there's a problem. There was a book down in his heart. It was burning like a fire. And he got out of there and said, I'm going on for the glory of God. Amen. It's a book. It'll keep you going when you don't think you can put one foot in front of another. Get your Bible down. Read it. Amen. Stay in the book. And then the Bible said in verse number 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. When's the last time you spoke the book? You told somebody, anybody, your wife, your husband, your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, your friend. When's the last time you spoke the Word of God to anybody? Speak the book. I tell you what, if it gets down in you just right, it's kind of like a measles. It'll come out on you, amen. It'll break out on you. Speak the book. It shall not depart out of the mouth. Meditate day and night. Look at that in verse number 8. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. I don't say this boastfully, but most of what I preach, most of it, does not come with this book open. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm meditating. I'm thinking.
I don't know how many times I've been going down the road, Brother Junior, and God spoke to my heart. How many times I've been mowing grass and God spoke to my heart. How many times I've been in the woods, amen, and God spoke to my heart. It's just because I was fellowshipping with Him, amen? And I was fellowshipping with Him because I had been in the book, and therefore, like just like this week, God said, Joshua 1, that's where you're going, amen? See, I knew what was in Joshua 1 without opening the Bible. But then I opened it last night, and it was actually after midnight when God began to outline it. What we all have in common. There's a God in heaven that loves you. There's a God in heaven that has a book for you. Not only meditate day and night, but look at verse 8. Observe to do. Let's just say, how much respect would you have for me? By the way, Sister Jean, you got over that pneumonia, honey, and it's so good to have you back. Praise the Lord. How much respect would you have for me, Turtle? If I preached the book, but didn't live it, you'd go somewhere else, wouldn't you, brother? And I wouldn't blame you. Amen? In other words, you don't just observe the Word of God just so you can get up maybe or impress somebody with your knowledge. Amen? You observe it because you need to do it. We need to, the Bible said, love not in word and in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Amen? Be not hearers of the word only, but doers of the word of God. Many people hear the word every Sunday, and they go away and never even think about it again. Shouldn't be that way. We ought to be meditating. We ought to be doing whatever God says to do in this book. And then we can draw strength and courage. Look at verse number 9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. We can draw strength from this book. There are going to be times, it doesn't matter who we are, we're going to be weak. And sometimes we think, well, weak, I wouldn't want to confess that I'm weak. Let me tell you a secret about the Christian life. His strength is always made perfect in our weakness. There's nothing wrong, beloved, with admitting that once in a while. I need some help. As a man told me yesterday, he came to a place in his life where he said, God, I can't do this. I need some help. What's wrong with that? Nothing. Nothing's wrong with that. Because this book that God has given us, beloved, tells us how to prosper. We can draw strength and courage. And then it also tells us of His promises. Look at verse number 5. Brother Gary, this one's all for you, brother. If I've got a memory at all, I'll always remember Brother Gary's favorite verse. But look here, it goes right with it, Brother Gary. He said, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Amen? It's this book. It's this book that God has given us that tells us of the promises of God. I was in a camp meeting last week, and they were singing a song, Standing on the Promises of God. I looked at the guy next to me, and I said, some are standing on the promises, and some are just sitting on the premises. Amen? There's some people, they couldn't tell you a promise from God if their life depended on it. Amen? Shame on you. Get in this book and learn what God has promised you. Amen. That are saved by the grace of God. Okay, it's only a 3-point sermon. That's the first two. There's a God in heaven that loves you. There's a God in heaven that has a book for you. But number 3, there's a God in heaven that you're going to meet. You're going to meet Him? I said you're going to meet Him. You're going to meet Him. The Bible said, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, even the servants of the Lord die. You're going to meet Him. The Bible said that as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Everyone, boy, I'm telling you what's the truth. I would to God that I could have understood that when I was these youngins' ages. I was 27 before I got saved. Would to God that I could have understood and my life been planned around the fact, I'm going to meet God. I'm going to give an account for my life. The unsaved are going to meet God at the great white throne judgment. And they're going to be judged according to their works. In other words, there's degrees of punishment in hell. Some people, they have the attitude, well, if you're not going to get saved, then just eat, drink, and be merry, live it up, it don't matter. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. You hear what I said? There are degrees of punishment in hell. I don't know how God's got all that sorted out, but it's taught in the Word of God. There's degrees of punishment in hell. I'm going to stop and make a statement. I do not want the best that hell has to offer. Not the best. My pastor, the night I was saved, when he put his arm around me, as long as I've got any memory at all, I'll never forget what he said. Rick, I'm glad you come, son. He said, son, ain't nothing worth dying going to hell over. My pride was not worth dying and going to hell over. And that's where I was headed. Amen. Now, the saved are not going to stand at the great white throne judgment. We're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. But we're all going to meet Him. The same God, the same judge. We're going to meet Him in a different time, in a different place. But we're all going to meet Him. All of our graduates. It's hard for somebody 17 or 18 years old or 25 years old or 27 or 28 years old to be thinking along those lines. Let me help you. High school, right here in town. Right here in town. You heard about the coach? I was with Tanner in the NICU when he was born. 27 years ago. I wasn't even pastor yet at Liberty, but I knew God had put it in my heart. And when they were having the baby, Rustin and Susan were having the baby, I was with them in the hospital. I heard, and this goes back to what I said a while ago. I heard the middle of the day, Jackson, you and Bryson told me about the coach that died. You thought he was 28, but I think it's 27. Miss Eve told me she read it was 27. And they told me, Mark, I didn't know who they were talking about. And then when I went to the graduation, I found out it's somebody that I know. Somebody that I've pastored. Why did you say all that, preacher? Because it might not be a bad idea. If you're 17 or 18 years old, if you're 20 or 22 years old, 25 or 26 years old, to come to grips with the fact that you are going to stand before God. You're going to stand before God. I believe a pastor's greatest joy, brother, would be that all of his people escape the great white throne judgment. And that he gets to stand as they go by the judgment seat of Christ and hear Jesus say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You see, I think we get mixed up sometimes. I think we think, well, a preacher might be able to hear that, or a missionary might be able to hear that. No, let me tell you something. Farmers can hear that. Doctors can hear that. Lawyers can hear that. A pharmacist can hear that. A dental hygienist can hear, a nurse can hear that, amen? Amen? It's all about motive. Why are we doing what we do? It's all about motive. And God wants us to understand that we're going to be responsible, not for what He has not given us, but for what He's given us. Let me give you a verse of Scripture. To whom much is given, finish it, somebody. Much is required. To whom much is given, much is required. Think about that for just a moment. I reached out to Tanner's dad, let him know that we're praying for him. It breaks my heart. But I'll tell you what blesses my heart. He left a good testimony. He loved the Lord. He had an influence in other people's lives for the Lord. There's a God in heaven that we're going to meet. Whatsoever you do, the Scripture says, do it heartily, as unto the Lord and not unto men. I love this. I heard this statement years ago. I was in Indiana in a meeting, and a preacher said this. If you're a cotton picker, he said, you be the best cotton picking cotton picker picking cotton. Now that's the grace of God. It come out right. Amen. In other words, whatever God has given you to do in life, do your best at it for the glory of God. Amen. Thank God for what He's given you and use it for His honor and for His glory. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Think about that for just a moment. Let me say something to our church. If we believe what I've preached this morning, these young people, some may be staying around close, some leaving off. If we really believe what I'm preaching this morning, we'll pray for them. We'll bathe them in prayer and ask God to help them, amen, every day of their life. I wrote a statement down and I'm going to close with this. Actually, I'm going to read something in just a moment. Then I'll close with that. Here's a statement I wrote down last night after midnight. In our careers. I mean, this could be true of pastor. You understand? I'm not picking on our graduates. But listen to what God gave me. Are you making a name for yourself? Or are you taking His name to others? In life, Jason, are you just trying to make a name for yourself? Or are you taking His name to others? Brother Mike, is Coulter up there at Goose Creek trying to make a name for himself? Or taking His name to others? Everybody get that? Brother Houston, I apologize. I forgot to mention the block layer on that hospital a while ago. Amen. Somebody laid the block, didn't they? Somebody poured the foundation. Somebody dug the foundation. My grandson is the happy. He is as happy as a squirrel in a box of nuts. And I ain't talking about his papaw now. They just bought a mini X marker. They brought it home, and my grandson's 17 years old. There's a mound of dirt about 6 foot off the ground. His girlfriend was there. My boy come in from work, and he had the mini X setting up on top of the pile of dirt. He sent the other boy and said, "Tell him to get down. There's no need in taking an unnecessary risk." He's showing off, wasn't he? You know where he got that from? His mamaw.
Yeah, right.
That's exactly where he got it from. His mamaw. Today, some things we all have in common. There's a God in heaven that loves us. There's a God in heaven that has a book for us. And there's a God in heaven that we're going to meet. I read this. Let me read it to you. We'll close the service. Let's see here. I hope I can get it. Here we go. Two golfers stepped up to the first tee on the St. Andrews course at Ardsley, New York, one of America's oldest courses. The elder one was a kindly man who played a thoughtful, deliberate game. The younger man was full of pride and impatience. On the first hole he sliced, he lost his ball in the tall grass. That's why one preacher I knew didn't play golf. He said, "They don't mow the grass where I play." And he shot another one and had a score of 8 instead of 4 or 5. On the second tee, he began to lecture the caddy. "Keep your eye peeled," he said. "I'm not here to do your job for you." Thereafter, every bad shot was the caddy's fault. At the end of the first 9 holes, the young man was so enraged that he discharged the caddy and carried his own bag. That caddy doesn't like me, he said to his companion. And I'm a four-letter word sure that I don't like him. He made me nervous. Thank God he's gone. After several holes had been played without a word, the older player broke the silence. He said, several years ago, a little kid from Yonkers came up here and was taken on as a caddy. He was a wonderfully sweet-natured boy, quick-witted, willing, and had a nose for golf. Everybody liked him. His name was William. He had a club foot. But that didn't affect his quality as a caddy. It was a pleasure to go out with him. A certain famous doctor, a member of the club, became interested in William and took him south on a long trip. When William returned, he went back to caddying. The doctor, however, had to give up golf shortly after because of his health. He died a few months later. One morning I was playing around with William, carrying my bag. Spring was running riot all over Westchester County. And the fields and the hedges were alive with blossoms. William gathered flowers until he had quite a bouquet. "Who's the girl, William?" I asked. He said, "I haven't any girl, sir." He said, "They're for my friend, the doctor. Twice a week I take flowers to his grave." You see, the man went on. The doctor took him down south that winter and operated on his foot. He made the boy whole again. And William never forgot the doctor's act of kindness. "Now that's a caddy worth having," the younger man said. "Whatever happened to William?" He said, "He carried your bag today for the first 9 holes. Isn't that a wonderful story? We should never forget those that's made it possible for us to be what we are, who we are, and where we are in this walk of life. Brother Dale, get us a song. Father, thank you this morning or this afternoon for the Word of God. Thank you, God, that you have a plan in mind, Lord, for every one of our young people. And I'm so thankful, Lord, that you love us, that you have left us instruction, a manual to instruct our lives. And Lord, I thank you for every promise because they're all true. They're all settled in heaven. Help us, Lord, to stand on the promises of God. Lord, I pray that you'll bless our graduates. Lord, the families, our Father, that have been touched in recent days by death. God, would you bless the bereaved family? Many, Lord, this weekend on Memorial Day will be visiting the cemetery. Help us all to remember, Lord, life is short. Help us, Lord, to do what we can while we can, because, Lord, time is swiftly running out. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning.